This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the all-new MG HS plug-in hybrid. Petrol freedom plus up to 120 kilometers electric range. MG. Recharge your soul.
To hear my next guest's programme, which is Dermot Bannon, of course. You all know him from Room to Improve. It's airing this Sunday at 9.30 on RT1 and RT Player. And he's here with me in studio. Dermot, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Before I get underway, it was sad to hear about Hugh Wallace dying just before Christmas. TV architect.
Yeah, a bit of a shock to the industry. It was very sudden. And I think he's a huge loss, I think. His presence, he had colour, and he had, you know, there's something about him, and he absolutely loved being on the television, and it's still kind of sinking in. And like, he was recording programmes right up until the day he passed away, so they still have to go out on air, and it's all a bit odd.
Yeah, very, very sad for him and the family. Anyway, let's concentrate on what you're doing. We are up and running at 9:30 p.m. It comes at an interesting time, I suppose, Dermot. Two things that come to mind is, one, I was thinking of the housing crisis, which we'll be featuring on the show today, but people moving into smaller properties, you know, a bit more cramped, you know, more apartment living than houses. So is that your first way you want to reflect that in the programme, that people are working with less space?
I suppose, look, Room to Improve is always, because we do it on a yearly basis, it's always a slice of life through construction and what's happening in construction. and this year is no different, I suppose, projects are a bit smaller. We've one project where we're not doing any extension onto it whatsoever. We're trying to rework it within the existing footprint of the house. We've got a downsizer. Well, you're not allowed to call it a downsizer anymore. It's called a right-sizer.
Oh, right. Okay.
I was corrected the whole way through the program. And apparently it's just politically incorrect to say that.
I'm glad you told me, in case I'm the same boat.
I'm still getting used to it. But I think that was a really important one, because it was a couple who were not an old couple, but the kids had just flown the nest. So the kids were in their mid-20s and had moved, both of them actually moved to London. And when they kind of said, well, when they move back to Ireland, if they move back to Ireland, they're probably not going to be moving back in with us. So now is the time when we have the energy and the gumption and we're still working to downsize and to move back into a house that's a little bit smaller. And I think, like, that is one of the kind of solutions to the housing crisis. We tend to build the same house type over and over again. We build a 4-bed semi, the 3-bed semi, and we don't build a variety of homes in this country. Now, newer housing developments have a variety, but we have swathes of the same house, and it means that people don't move.
And are you concerned that in this drive for space, and you want to get so much onto the footprint of an area and the development, the question that all the other parts of owning a house will kind of be thrown out the door? It's kind of like just constantly squashing, you know. I mean, is that a concern?
How do you mean?
In other words, the emphasis will be on getting as many people into a property development as possible, that they'll have less space. I mean, some of the apartments that were built, as we know, going into the Celtic Tiger were pretty tight.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that.
I think it's use of
the space. Like, if you go to New York, if you go to Paris, if you go to Berlin, if you go to Copenhagen, like, they live in very dense cities, right, with just enough space.
Like, and I went to buy a sofa recently, right? Like, very fascinating folks, right? Yeah. But I mean, they're enormous. They're absolutely enormous. And I asked the shop assistant, would you have a smaller sofa, a bit tighter? Why do you need that? Because I don't live in a big house. You know what I mean? Like,
it's become the norm. And I think it's a little bit of an Irish thing. We tend, when we buy something, to try and buy the biggest that we possibly can. And size is very, very important to us. But actually, if you look across other kind of successful European cities, it's I did a TV series in Stockholm a few years ago, and we went to see an apartment building, and the apartments were compact. But they were really efficient. They had proper storage areas. Everything kind of worked. Everything had its place. There was built-in little alcoves for desks. But what really got me and was the biggest problem with apartments is space for your stuff, right? And in the basement of the apartment where the cars would normally park, they had cages. And in the cages went your Christmas decorations, your bikes, their skates, the skateboards, okay, the suitcases, all the big things that take up a lot of...
So they can be offered communally.
If we embrace denser kind of city living, I think it can work really well. Because most of us would much rather have a really cool park across the road from us than to have a small back garden.
Yeah, so it's more communal ownership of these assets.
But better assets. Okay. A kind of a nicer walk to work. So I think that denser living can work for us.
In terms of room to improve itself, the big other story or the subplot here is the rising cost of inputs into housing, which Ireland really can't do much about because most of it's imported. Not all of it, but a good portion of it is. So have you tried to sort of bring that into the room to improve serious?
It's all budgets.
Housing inflation is just out of control.
Sure, my co-host is a quantity surveyor. Yeah. So
she'll keep you straight, right?
No, but we do talk about money and we do talk about compromises. And I suppose episode one is about downsizing. Episode two is all about kind of a couple who have a dream for their home.
But and are you still passionate about making this program all these years later?
I love it.
I'm not going to say not, but
I love it. Like it's a privilege to make it. It's a privilege to be given a kind of a Sunday evening slot, so I don't take it lightly. But no, I love it, and I love telling the kind of the state of construction through stories.
Okay.
So each kind of we try and pick a couple and pick a storyline that is different every week. So like what you were saying there about the budgets, construction costs are high at the moment, and the only way to kind of navigate your way through that is to set up compromises. And what are you prepared to? So it's to talk through and work through the homeowners with what. You know, they have a dream for 10 things,
but Dermot,
you can only get 4.
You can get a tradesperson because you're Dermot Bannon, right? The availability of skilled people at the moment is just, maybe just me, but it seems to be very tight.
For small jobs it is. And most people will encounter it if they're trying to get an electrician for tomorrow or a plumber for tomorrow. But if you're doing a build, they're obviously a contractor will have booked in a plumber and an electrician.
So are those people floating to the bigger jobs and leaving a bit of a gap?
That's what happens, and I suppose it is.
There's tomorrow's tabloid headline. Dermot Bannon is stealing all our tradespeople.
I'm stealing.
It's all his fault.
All the electricians and plumbers are in my house.
You'll have to stop this series.
yeah, to get them all back so they can go out and fix your leak.
The other thing I was going to ask you about, in terms of the motivation of the people who are coming with the plan, is you talked about downsizing, right sizing. Is it a lot? Do you like to have that different stories each time? Make them not just the here we go again.
I suppose when you're making a TV series, it has to kind of read like a magazine, almost with different articles running through it. So yes, we do try and choose projects that we haven't done before. It might be the same house type, but the couple will be different or the couples will have needs. So you've got lots of different parameters that make up a TV program. So you've got location, you've got age group and profile of the homeowners, and you've got the house type. And what we try and do is kind of mix that up a bit by bit. It's like doing the lotto numbers. It's infinite.
But when the pitches come in, do you sort of go, it's an apartment, it's going to be small, I can't, like, you know, I know it's not your natural instinct.
No,
but
I think sometimes when it's something that we haven't done before, there was one came in this year and there was no extension. They didn't have enough budget to do an extension to it. We had enough to rework what they already had. And that was the biggest challenge out of the entire series. So for me, it's more about a challenge and what haven't we done before? And the bigger, and I think sometimes the bigger the challenge, the more relatable it is for people. So if people, you know.
What's the most outrageous one you've got so far? You may not even have done it, but it came in and you went, bloody hell, I'm not doing a swimming pool that size.
What's the most outrageous?
It's not like sort of Trumpian gold things on walls or anything.
You get a bit of that. What was the most outrageous? The most outrageous thing was somebody said to me once was, if we don't get onto room to improve, we'll probably apply for X Factor, and I'm like, okay, that's you done.
We're not in that space, you know. So that's bad. Yeah, that is not great, isn't it? It's a TV fame moment for some people.
And that's not what we're about. We are about real stories and real people's lives. And look, to be honest with you, people are spending a huge amount of money on their homes. It's not something that they do flippantly, and I think that's why I suppose the show, people still watch it because there's so much in jeopardy.
Okay, listen, no swimming pools, at least for the moment.
How do you know? I haven't said no swimming pools.
But then have to tune in on Sunday to find out. Well done. Please, sofa sellers, get bigger sofas. That's just a personal thing. Dermot Bannon, good luck with it. Room to Improve starting on Sunday at 9:30 on RT1 and, of course, on The Player. Thank you very much for coming into the studio. Really appreciate it.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the all-new MG HS plug-in hybrid. Petrol freedom plus up to 120 kilometres electric range. MG. Recharge your soul.